some kind of Zion Umud Bays, about a little bit just past the middle of the Umud, where the line begins Hoyle.
Okay.
Okay, so we learned previously that Rabbi described a whole conversation that he had with the Bnei HaYeshiva of Rav Yeshiva, where they argued that they brought in the name of Rav that Schach passels the sukkah in the middle, if it's in the middle of the sukkah, if you have only four tefachim of it, only when you have it on the edge, only then can you have up to four amos. And then if you have empty space, then three tefachim. So three tefachim for empty space, four tefachim for passel schach, three tefachim for empty space wherever it is, whether on the edge or the side or in the middle. Four tefachim for passel schach in the middle, four amos for passel schach on the side. Rabbah argued with them that it should be four amos everywhere for passel schach, and he brought an argument to bear in favor of that, and then we had some further discussion that Abaya had with him on that. So the Gemara says, "B'sura ami lahoshmaita b'hai lishna." In Sura, they told over this discussion in that way that we said that Rav is the one who says that schach posel passels it if you have four tefachim in the middle of the sukkah. Then how dumb masnu, but in how dumb. So Sura was where Rav had his yeshiva. So their version of the sugya went that Rav is the one who said that four tefachim. The Nahudah, whereas in Nahudah, which is where Shmuel's yeshiva was, Masnu, then they learned that it was actually Shmuel who said that then. Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, they learned that Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Shmuel, Schach posel be'emtza posel ba'abah, posel a schach in the middle of the sukkah is going to passel it if you have four tefachim. Again, like we said on Friday, whenever it's ba'abah, which is Lashon Zachar, then it's tefachim, which is also Lashon Zachar. Whereas if we mean Amos, then we will use the word Arba, which is Lashon Nekeva. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that Schach Pasul in the middle of the sukkah passels if you have four tefachim. Minatzad, and if it's on the edge along one of the walls, Posel ba'arba Amos, then it passels only if you have four Amos, because as we said before, if it's by the edge, then you're able to apply Dofen Akuma, you're able to consider as though the wall bent over or moved over according to the different explanations of the Rishonim in order to meet Schach that's there. Now you can only say that where there's actual schach there, whether schach kosher or schach posel, which is why we say with airspace it doesn't make a difference, and three tefachim is going to be enough to passel it, less than three of course is lovely. So according to Nahudah's version, it's Shmuel who said that it's four tefachim in the middle and four amos on the side. And Rav is the one who says whether it's on the side or the middle, it's going to be four amos. So exactly the opposite of the way they learned it in Surah. So again, in Surah, Rav was the one who said four tefachim versus four amos, depending where it is in the sukkah. And Rabbah was arguing with them, it doesn't mention Shmuel in that sugya, but it mentions that Rabbah was arguing with them and saying that on the face of it, it ought to be four amos everywhere. And now in Nahudah's version, it's Rav saying four amos, like Rabbah said in the first version, and Shmuel saying four tefachim versus four amos, like Rav in the first version. So the Gemara says Tanan. Okay, now let's look at. An interesting point is who the halacha would be like. We usually have a rule. We usually have a rule when the Gemara brings two lashonis of a discussion, and usually the halacha is like the second lashon. And furthermore, we're saying that usually we have the rule that the halacha is like Rav against Shmuel in Dine Isser Veheter. So does that mean that over here the halacha should be like the second version of Rav, and Schach Posel is going to be only Posel, the Dalar Amos? There are a couple of Rishonim who say that way. A number of the Rishonim say that no, the halacha is like the first version of Rav. And so they say that because we do often say that we go according to the second Lashon, but not when it involves an Isur Daraisa. And here we're talking about Sukkah, of course, is Daraisa. Therefore, that would be a reason to go according to the version that's Machmer. And then also because there are other Gemaras that imply more like the first Lashon. Anyway, so the final halacha is, in fact, like what we're saying in the first version that the Talmidim of Rav had said, and in the second version, what Shmuel is saying, that, in the second version, what Shmuel is saying, that if it's in the middle, it passes with four tefachim. If it's at the edge, it passes with four amos. And again, we have to mention over here, like we said before, that all of this discussion over here about airspace causing a problem and schach posel causing a problem is only if it goes from one end of the sukkah to the other, from one side of the sukkah to the other, and you don't have seven by seven tefachim behind it, or if it goes from the front of the sukkah, if it's a three-wall sukkah, to the back. But if it's only partly in the middle, then it's not going to be such a, then it's not going to be a problem, because then you have all the schach posel surrounding it. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at the previous Mishnah and see which opinion it fits with better. The Mishnah had said, Nosan alayah nesir shu rochav abot tochim. If a person placed some time, now we had a machloikus over there, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, whether boards are posel or kosher for schach. Rav Yehuda had said they're fine, Rav Meir had said they're posel. And the Mishnah said, Nosan alayah nesir shu rochav abot tochim. If a person placed on top of the sukkah a board which is four tefachim wide, which we had the machloekas Rav and Shmuel over there, whether it is it that Rav Meir passels and Rav Yehuda would hold that such a thing is still kosher, or is it that was according to Rav, or according to Shmuel, both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda would say that four tefachim wide is kosher. The machloekas is only if it's between three and four, according to Shmuel. So we said, Sheva, the sukkah is kosher. And we said, as long as you don't sleep underneath it. So what do we mean the sukkah is kosher? And what do we mean, where exactly is this board located? B'shlema l'rav, d'omar b'en b'emtza b'en min atzad b'arba amas. According to Rav, the second version of Rav, that is, who says that no matter where, it only passes of its four amas, mishum hachik shera. Well, therefore, that explains why the sukkah is kosher. It is schach posel, so therefore you can't sleep underneath it. But the posel, the sukkah, you're going to need four amas, and you don't have that. But Shmuel says that if it's in the middle of the sukkah and it's schach posel, again, according to Rav's version over there, Rav Meir would say it's schach posel. According to Shmuel's version, both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda would say that four tefachim wide, a board four tefachim wide is schach posel. So according to that, amai k'shera, why would it be kosher? You have four tefachim of posel of schach in the middle of the sukkah. So how would Shmuel, in the second version, how would Shmuel explain that Mishnah? You could also ask it on Rav in the first version, but the Gemara is going to answer that the board could be on the side. But after all, Rav himself had said that according to the mayor, only if it's four tefachim wide is a posel. Rav had held if it's less than four tefachim wide is kosher, even according to the mayor. Therefore, that might be why the Mishnah mentions four tefachim in order to inform us of that chiddush. But Shmuel, who holds that according to the mayor, the board is already posel if it's over three tefachim, so there's no particular reason to mention four tefachim unless it's that you're telling us that the sukkah is going to be kosher because of it. But Shmuel in our version is holding that in fact once it's four tefachim and it's in the middle of the sukkah, it's going to be posel. So therefore, why is so what does the Mishnah mean? The answer is, the Mishnah over there is not talking about at all where the board is in the middle, according to Shmuel. In fact, it's talking about where it's on the side. Shmuel agrees on the side, it's going to be only four amos is going to be a problem. Up to that point, Dothan Akuma. But nevertheless, you can't sleep under it because that's the whole point. Whether you say Dothan Akuma is that the wall is considered to curve over and meet the schach, then you can't sleep under that board because that board is considered part of the wall. And of course, you have to sleep and eat and whatever under the schach. And if we say the other version that Rishonim say of Dothan Akuma is that the wall moves to meet the schach that's there, same idea. Then that schach posel is outside of the sukkah, therefore you can't sleep or eat or whatever underneath it. So in fact, that Mishnah is not at all referring to a case where board is in the middle. It's only referring to a board that's by the edge of the sukkah. Tashma, the Gemara says, come, let's bring another proof from a Braisa, which we've learned previously. Shneis dinin mitstarfin. If a person puts down two sheets, one next to the other, then they combine together for schach posel. Sheets, of course, are posel of schach, because they're davar makabel tumah. And so if you have a sheet two tefachim wide and another sheet two tefachim wide, or according to Rav, two amos and two amos, then they're going to combine together to passel the sukkah. But shnei nesorim ein mitstarfin, But two boards together are not going to combine together to pass the sukkah. But Rav Meir Oimin is starting Kisdinim. But Rav Meir says that no, boards are just like sheets in that regard, and therefore they're combined together. Again, we talked about the other day the problem called Gzeiras Tikra, that there's a problem if you're allowed to sit, Rav Meir figures, if you're allowed to sit under boards of four tefachim according to Rav, of between three and four tefachim according to Shmuel, then a person is going to think, what do I need a sukkah at all? I might as well just sit in my house, which is also roofed with boards. So the mayor says that boards are posel schach even to the extent that they're considered like sheets, and therefore they're combined together to posel sukkah. So now again, let's figure how that fits with the two versions of Rav and Shmuel over here. The shlema lahach lishna de omer Rav bein beemtza bein min atzad ba'arba amos. So according to the second version of Rav, according to the Nahar Dor version, that Rav says, regardless, anywhere the schach posel is, you need four amos to posel, then we understand what the word mitztarfin means. My mitztarfin la amos. The word mitztarfin means it combines together to form the four amos. In other words, let's assume the boards or the sheets are in the middle. Again, Rav had previously said that Rav Meir has a problem only with boards four tefachim or more wide. So therefore, what we're saying is, if you put a bunch of boards together like that, so if you put six boards together like that, so four amos is 24 tefachim, so you'd need six boards of four tefachim each, then Rav Meir would say that's enough to passel the sukkah. They combine together. Each one by itself is schach passel. Therefore, you can't sleep or eat underneath it. But it's not going to passel the whole sukkah, according to the second version of Rav, unless you have four amos. So fine, then we understand. What the word mitztarfin means, you'd need a bunch of those boards next to each other in order to passel the sukkah. Ela lahach lishna de'omer Rav be'emtza barba. But according to the first version, that Rav is the one who said that if it's in the middle of the sukkah and you have four tefachim, then that's already enough to passel the entire sukkah. So what's this mitztarfin? Heichi dami. What's the scenario? Id isbahu arba, if each board individually is four tefachim, lomalu it's derupi, then why do you need combine, what do you need to combine them together in order to passel the sukkah? One all by itself, according to that first version of Rav, would be enough to passel it. Id lesbahu arba, and if each board is not four tefachim wide, then, as we said then, Rav would say that even a mayor has no problem with it. Kanya ba'almaninu, they're no more than sticks. So therefore, even if you combine them all together, there's no reason they would combine together for schach posel. Again, according to Shmuel, we said that Rav Meir had said between three and four tefachim is already going to be posel schach. But he's going to say that you need four tefachim in the second version to posel the sukkah. So necessarily you're going to need siddur if you're going to have to combine together two boards to have more than four tefachim and posel the sukkah. But Rav, who says that the size of the boards that Rav Meir has a problem with, and in the first version, the size of the amount of schach that posels the sukkah as a whole is the same thing, then what siddur? And if we're talking less than four tefachim, then there's no reason that tziruf would make a difference because they're all thin boards. So the answer is la'olam de'isbuhu arba. We are actually talking about where each board is four tefachim wide. And again, the answer is like before: mitztarfin la'aba amis menatzad. You're right. If it's in the middle of the sukkah according to Rav, there'd be no reason. You don't need to combine them. One board by itself, four tefachim, is enough to passel the entire sukkah. What we mean is when it's on the side, and they have four on the side, everybody agrees that you need four amos to passel it, so then we're saying that they combine together from the side. So now you have the flow of the Braisa that is saying that the Tanakama of the Braisa, which is Rabbi Yehuda, is saying, I, Bechlal, don't have a problem with boards, so even if you have four amos combined of boards by the side of the sukkah, even if you have four tefachim and another four tefachim and so forth along the whole side of the sukkah, I have no problem with it. It's kosher aschach. It does, after all, grow from the ground. It's not makabel tshuva. And it's detached from the ground. Therefore, I'm fine with it. Therefore, they don't combine together the way sheets would to make up four amos. And the mayor says, yes, but I have a problem with boards, and they're with that are four tefachim wide, according to Rav. And therefore, if you have enough of them by the side of the sukkah, it's going to pass through it, because you can't say Dirk and Akoma anymore. Okay. Tashma, let's bring a proof from another braisa. We learned this braisa previously also. Sikacha ben esorin shal erez. If a person made the schach out of cedar boards, Now, the Pashtus, it applies to other kinds of boards as well. We talked about this the other day. The Rashash wants to say that maybe cedar is usually used for roofs, and therefore maybe the Gzeiras Tikra doesn't apply to other boards as well, but the fact is nobody else makes such a distinction, so it may not be valid. Later on, actually, in the third Perek, we're going to have an interesting point over there. We're going to learn that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's a further condition of Schach that we haven't learned until now. Namely, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Schach is kosher only from the Dalad Minim. So according to him, we're going to ask, what do we mean by boards of Erez, where Erez is not one of the Dalad Minim, and we're going to explain over there that what we actually mean is a Hadas tree, which is of the Erez species. But we'll get to that later on Daflam Zion or so, Bez Hashem. Anyway, the point is, the Braisa says, so if a person used cedar boards, or Mepashtus, any other boards, Sheyesh Behen Arba, which are four tfachim wide, Divrei Hakol Psula, then everybody agrees that sukkah is possible. Now, we said the other day that this Braisa follows Shmuel's understanding of the Mishnah. We said that there was a Braisa following Rav's opinion and a different Braisa following Shmuel's opinion. This one followed Shmuel's opinion. And therefore, everybody agrees that it's possible if the boards are four tfachim wide. Ein behen arba, if the boards are less than four tefachim wide, and we said according to Shmuel means between three and four tefachim wide, Reb Meir posts over Reb Yehuda Machshir. Reb Meir says it's possible. Reb Meir says it's possible because three is already more than is already lovered, and you don't say lovered by three or more anymore. Therefore, Reb Meir says that's considered significant enough to be considered schach possible. Of Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher because he says you need a makom choshuv, and a makom choshuv is only four tefachim or more. But the Braisa continues, umerdid a mayor. Now a mayor does agree. She'im yesh bein neser the neser kim loy neser. If you have space between each board and the next board, the width of the board, shemaniach psol b'neim uksheira. Then he can put regular schach, psol, again being related to the word psolus gurdon v'yetev, which we learned last week is the definition of kosher schach, is psolus, is the leftovers from the threshing floor and from the vineyard, the straw, the grape, the grape branches, whatever. So the mayor agrees then that if you have you have a board four tfachim, and then another board four tfachim between them, or between three and four tfachim, whatever, and you have between them a space that you fill, equal to the size of the board, and you fill it up with proper schach, shemaniach psol b'neim, so you can put psol between them, uksheira, and then the sukkah is going to be kosher, because then you have, then the sukkah is going to be kosher, because then you have in between, you have kosher schach. So, let's figure out. So according to the first version of, according to Rabba in the first version and Rav in the second version that says that always you need four amas of pasul eschach in order to pasul sukkah, mishumachi kshera. Then that explains why Rav Meir would say the sukkah is kosher. You don't have four amas of pasul eschach in any one place because you have a board and then kosher eschach and then another board. But according to Rav in the first version and Shmuel in the second version, that schach posel is going to passel if you have only four tefachim of it in the middle of the sukkah. Amai kshera. So according to the mayor is saying that these boards are posel. And we're talking about where you have a board four tefachim wide. According to Shmuel in the second version, and according to Rav in the first version, that should be alone enough to pass the sukkah. How does it help to have kosher schach between the two boards? So the answer is, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, hocha b'sukkah d'lo havya ala shmona mitzumtzomes haskinan. The scenario we're talking about over here, where the mayor is going to say it's kosher, is where the sukkah is exactly eight amos. Is exactly eight amos in size. It's interesting, by the way. Hagoyis Habach adds the word over here, amos. And the reason might be, we said before that you can tell whether it's tefachim or amos with Lashon Zachar or Lashon Nekeva. But when it comes to the number eight, you have shmoineh is Lashon Nekeva, shmoineh is Lashon Zachar, and they're spelt the same way. The only way to tell is by the Nekudas. So therefore, we have to add over here the word amos in order to clarify that we're not talking about tefachim. If it was any other number, we wouldn't have had to do that. Anyway, so we're talking about over here, you have exactly eight amos. So in other words, we're not talking about just that someplace randomly in the middle of the sukkah, you have a couple of boards and then you have kosher schach between them. The scenario we're talking about, and we touched on this the other day, is the yohiv nested or pestle, the nested or pestle, the nested or pestle mahagis. So you start from one end, you start putting a board, then that you start putting a board for talking, then psol, then psolus goin the yekdev, regular good schach for talking, then another board for talking, another more good schach for talking, and repeat that a third time. Now at that point you've reached the middle of the sukkah. Eight amos is 48 talking. So now we have 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. At this point we have 8 strips. 3 of them being boards and 3 of them being schach. So far, we've reached the midpoint of the sukkah. We reached 24 tefachim. Then you do the same thing on the other side. The nested of psal, the nested of psal, the nested of psal mehaydisa. Then you start from the other side of the sukkah, do the same thing. Board schach, board schach, board schach. So now, the Havalahu Shnei Psol and Vamsa. So what you have is as follows. In the middle of the sukkah, you end up with 8 tefachim, with 8 consecutive tefachim, but 8 tefachim wide by the length of the sukkah, of good schach. And what do you have on the ends? So the mayor is going to say the ends. Okay, we can ignore the ends for our purposes because the ends, fine, boards are possible schach. But if we consider we had a board and another board and another board, and in between them was kosher schach, the total fit, the total width of all of those boards with the schach between them is not yet 4 amos. All you have at that point is, twenty tefachim, which is 3 amos which is 3 amos and 2 tefachim, and the same thing on the other side. So fine, the mayor is going to say, listen, up to 4 amos we say dofen akoma. Therefore, we don't care that on the sides of the sukkah you have some boards over there, because in any case, even if it was solid boards, it would be fine up to 4 amos. You just couldn't sleep or eat underneath it. Fine. By the same token, over here we have exactly the same thing. What you're using as your kosher sukkah, so the Gemara continues, the Havalu Shnei Psolim Bamsa, you have 2 psols of 4 tefachim, one next to the other, making a total of 8. The Ikka Hechsha Sukkah Bamsa. So you have enough for a sukkah in the middle, because in the middle all you need is 7 tefachim, and here you have 8. So therefore, that's why it would work. So if we said that schach posel was posel only with 4 amos in the middle, then you don't need that scenario. But if we're talking, according to Shmuel in the second version, and according to Rav in the first version, that schach posel is going to pass over sukkah with 4 tefachim in the middle, then we have to say the scenario is that you have boards with schach between them, starting from the edges of the sukkah. Some of them are in fact in the middle of the sukkah, but those areas are not needed to count towards the hechsher sukkah because in the middle you have 8 tefachim of space where you're able to sleep and eat under that section. There is some discussion about whether maybe the mayor would allow you to sleep under the strips of schach that are closer to the edges. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. But in any case, definitely the 8 tefachim in the middle all by itself constitutes a kosher sukkah, and the fact that the walls are far away from it doesn't matter because dofen akuma up to 4 hours. Inside the Rav Yoh, in fact, gives a logical reason why should we say according to the mayor you should be allowed to sleep under those strips of schach. L'chora, they're too narrow by themselves to form a sukkah. Each strip is only 4 tefachim wide. The reason is, he says, because after all, even a mayor doesn't say that boards are in and of themselves possible schach. Midaraisa, they're perfectly kosher. It's only Drabbanan was saying because of Zerach Tikra. So once you have like this, where you build it like this, board schach, etc., then you already you don't really have so much Zerach Tikra. So fine. You can't sleep under the boards themselves, but you could sleep under the spaces, under the schach spaces between the boards. In fact, he says that's the chiddush. Although that's exactly why he says we have to have the scenario of boards schach, boards schach. Otherwise, it would have been much simpler to say you have boards coming out up to four amos on each side, and then some schach in the middle. The chiddush is that in this case, he says that even that you would even be, not only you're allowed to sleep in the middle under the eight tefachim, which you need that eight tefachim, otherwise you don't have a sukkah at all, but once you do, you're also allowed to go and sleep in other parts of the sukkah under the schach, under the strips of schach. Okay. So we would explain this to the case that way. So fine. So we can make that braisa work according to Shmuel as well. New discussion. We said before, now let's go back to Avir. We said that empty space of three tefachim is enough to passel the sukkah. So let's talk about some details of that. Amar Abaya, Avir Shloisha B'Sukkah G'dola. Suppose that you have a large sukkah, where again, large for this purpose is defined as that once you have some air or some possible schach and you subtract those, you're still going to have seven tefachim for a kosher sukkah. So, Mietoi, if a person then fills up that three tefachim of space and reduces it, Bein Bekanim, Bein Beshfudim, whether he uses sticks, which are kosher l'schach, or whether he uses spits, iron spits, or whatever, which are kosher l'schach, have a miut, then it's a valid miut, and now the sukkah is kosher. Because again, the kosher l'schach, you're going to need four tefachim in the middle, according to Shmuel, or four amos, according to Rav. So now what you have is you have three tefachim of space. Now you have two tefachim of space and a tefach of possible schach. No problem. We learned previously that kosher that possible schach and air don't combine together because they have different shiurim. So your sukkah will be kosher. But he continues, the sukkah katana, what if your sukkah is small and it's only 7 by 7 tefachim and you have a space of 3 tefachim in it? So then the kanim having miut, only if you put sticks over there which are kosher schach, is it going to be considered a miut and your sukkah is going to be kosher, the shfudin will have a miut. But if you put kosher schach, such as spit, then it's not going to be considered a valid miut, because after all, fine, you have 7 tefachim now, but part of that 7 tefachim is possible schach, and therefore it's true that you don't have 4 tefachim of possible schach, but in this case, because you anyway don't even have, you don't even have 7 tefachim of kosher schach, so therefore that 3 tefachim of possible schach is going to have a chashivus of its own, it's not going to be bottle, and therefore the whole sukkah is going to be possible. But again, he continues, "V'hani mili b'natzad." Now that only applies if the schach posel or if this air is on the side. Avo be'emza. But what if that empty space is in the middle of the sukkah and you want to fill it in? Then pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina. So now Rav Acha and Ravina argue what the din is about empty space in the middle of the sukkah. Chad Amar Yesh Lavud Be'emsa. One of them says that Lavud also applies in the middle of the sukkah. So in other words, what we mean is, let's say you have, so if you have less than 3 tefachim of empty space before we were talking about where you have 3 tefachim of empty space, which is enough to passel the sukkah. Again, we said whether it's be'emsa, whether we're not sad, and therefore we said you're talking about that you filled it in with something. Now, what if you have less than 3 tefachim of space? So usually we say less than 3 tefachim, we say lavud. Does that also apply in the middle of the sukkah? Or do we say that when you have space like that running along the entire length or the entire width of the sukkah, do we say that maybe even less than 3 tefachim is enough to pass over the sukkah because it breaks up the schach into two? So that's the machlokes, Rav Acha v'Ravina. Chad Amar Yesh Lavud Be'emsa. One of them says lavud applies also in the middle of to airspace in the middle of the sukkah, the chadoma ain lavud be'emsa. The other one says lavud does not apply to space in the middle of the sukkah, and because you're breaking up the two parts of the sukkah, the two parts of the sukkah are separated, and therefore neither one has the proper number of walls. In other words, the machlokes would be where does lavud apply? So, again, Tosfos explains that we're talking about him. So Tosfos says, we're not talking about him here, you know, according to that opinion, Ein Lover Be'emtza, we're not going to say that you can't have any gap anywhere in your Sukkah. Obviously, again, we're talking about, like we said before, only where the gap is all the way along the entire length or the entire width of the Sukkah, then we're talking about where there's a problem. Without a gap here or there, you know, you put down your sack and then you didn't manage to cover a certain area, fine, you may not be able to sit under that area, but it still doesn't pass the sack. It only combined together to whether if you have chamosim or rubim mitzilosik. In the aggregate, you have more sun than shade, then you're going to have a problem, but not just because you have a hole over there. Then for sure we will say lavod. Only when you have a strip, then we don't say lavod. Okay. So the Gemara says, my time of demand, I'm a yesh lavod be'emtza. What the opinion that says that there is lavod in the middle, where did you get that from? We said lavod in connection with walls. Where do we see that lavod also applies in the middle of the stack? So the answer is the Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa in connection with the dinim of a mavui in Masechta Eidim. We had a case over there, and now we learned that in order to be able to carry in a mavui, one of the things you need is you need either a lechi, a vertical pole, by the end of the mavui, or a korda, a horizontal beam running along the top of the mavui. So, a braisa had said in Eidolin, korda hayotzis mikosel zeh, if you have hayotzis mikosel zeh, if you have a korda that sticks out of one wall, of the mavui, the ena negas the koselacher, it doesn't quite reach to the other end. There's a gap between the end of the koda and the other wall. A bechen shtei kodas achas yotzim mikosel zeh v'achas yotzim mikosel acher, the ena negas l'vizu. Or if you have one koda sticking out of each side and they don't quite meet in the middle, so then pochas mishloisha ena tzarich lahavi koda acheres. If the gap is less than 3 tefachim, then you don't need to bring another koda. Then that koda by itself, or those two kodas by themselves that combine together are fine. Because again, we say lavod. But if they're less than 3 tefachim wide, if the gap is 3 or more tefachim wide, tzarech lahavi koda acheres, then you need another koda. So we see, in other words, that you say lavod. Now, in the first case, it's minatzad, but in the second case, it's be'emtza. It's you have space in the middle between the end of one koda and the end of the other koda, and we still say that, and we still say that it's kosher. So therefore, you see that there can be lavod in the middle. Even when it comes to something overhead, like the koda over here. So the same thing, it should work with the sack. The Idach. Now, what is the other opinion answer to that? By the way, I mean, we're talking here the first opinion, the second opinion. The Gemara just said Rav Acha and Ravina without specifying who's who. The Ritva points out that the Gemara elsewhere mentions that in most of Shas, whenever Rav Acha and Ravina are arguing, usually Ravina is the one who's being maker, with three exceptions, the Gemara says over there. We learned from something. So therefore, so over here, Ravina would be the one who's makel and says that you can say lavod in the middle, therefore the sukkah is kosher. Rav Acha would be the one who's makel. So Ravina says, I have a proof for my opinion to be makel from the case of the mavui, from the case of the koda over there. The idach, what would Rav Acha answer to that? He says, come on, shiny kodas, dirabanan. That's different. The whole concept of a koda is only dirabanan. Sure, there we can be makel and say lavod in the middle. Not necessarily when it comes to schach, which is daraisa. Okay. My time of demanda on my ain lover b'emtza. Next, Rav Acha, who says that there's no lover in the middle, and therefore the sukkah is going to be possible if you have a strip of space running along the entire length or width of the sukkah. Where is he getting that from? So the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Ahavos, Aruba Shabbatikr Sabayis, if you have a skylight in the ceiling of a house, we're talking about it's a one-story house, so we're talking about the top floor of a house, so therefore that skylight is directly open to the outside world. Uva peseach tefach, if that skylight is at least a tefach by a tefach, then tuma babayis, if there is tuma, a kazayis of a mess, someplace inside the house, kulay tomei, then everything inside the house is going to be tomei because it's under the same oihel as the mess. But Masha Kineged Aruba Tahar. But anything that is directly underneath that skylight is going to be Tahar. Because what happens, in other words, so let's say you have the mess is someplace else in the house, and then you have a Kaili directly under that skylight. That Kaili is not under the same oil as the mess. It's directly underneath the open sky. Therefore, it doesn't become tummy. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, truma keneged aruba. If the truma is directly underneath the skylight, kol habayis kolay tahor. Then everything in the house is tahor, because then again, the mess is not under an oil because it's directly under the open skylight. So therefore, the truma is just, we say truma bekas v'oila bekas v'yeredes. The truma just penetrates upward, directly upward, as far as it can go. So if you were flying in a plane over that house, for example, then you could talk about whether the people in the plane are tummy or not. But other than that, the other kalim in the house are not under the same oil, so they're not going to become tummy. So the whole house is tummy. And the Mishnah continues, Ein ba'aruba b'seach tefach. What if the skylight is less than a tefach by a tefach in size? Then there are different dinim. Tumah b'bayis keneged aruba tahor. It's still the case that if the tumah is someplace else in the house, then all the other kalim are going to be tameh, but keneged aruba tahor. Whatever is directly underneath the skylight is going to be tahor, because even though the skylight is less than a tefach wide, then nevertheless, it's still not under the same oil. Rashi actually mentions then that really it comes out based on what we're going to say that there's really no difference as far as these halachas whether the skylight is a tefach by a tefach or not. Rashi explains the reason why the Mishnah stresses in the Reisha that we're talking about where it's a tefach, and then the Sefer we're talking about where it's not, is just because there are other dinim in that perek and taharis where it makes a difference whether it's a tefach or not. But for our particular dinim that we're dealing over here, Rashi says it doesn't make a difference. The same dinim are going to apply either way. So if the skylight is less than a tefach wide, then also at any kalim that are directly under the skylight are going to be tahor because they're not under the same oil as the mess. Truma keneged aruba, and if the truma is directly under the skylight, kol habayis kolay tahor, then the whole house is tahor because there's no oil over it. So we see according to Rashi, primarily we're bringing the proof from the first case where you have a tefach opening over it. Now a tefach is still less than three tefachim. Why don't we say lavud? The Ritva wants to say that the Ritva talks about that we're learning from the Sefer. Because in the Reisha you could say fine, that the Gemara is going to answer the whole concept of tefach al tefach, that we don't say love, but it's a special halacha of Moshe Sinai. How do we know that applies even less than a tefach? So therefore we're bringing the second part of the Mishnah that explains that even when it's less than a tefach, then we still don't say love. So you see that you don't say lavud. If you said lavud, then the whole ceiling of the house would be considered as though it was closed in, and therefore everything would be tummy, regardless. The fact that you don't do that shows that you don't say lavud bamsa. So over there, it comes out of kula. In our case, with sukkah, it comes out of chumra. That therefore, if you have empty space, a gap, running along the whole length or the whole width of the sukkah, it's going to be possible. The idach, so what would Ravina answer to that? He would say, "Shiny hilchas tumah dehochi gmirli." It's different. The halachas of tumah is a special thing. That's the way we learn halachah l'moshe Sinai. That's the way they work. That you don't say. That in that case you don't say lavud. That in that case you don't say lavud in the middle. But that doesn't necessarily apply to sukkah. Maybe by sukkah we do. Okay. Next. We said in the Mishnah that one of the cases we had in the Mishnah was bayis shenifchas, if the ceiling of a house collapsed in the middle, and you put schach over the gap in the ceiling. So we said it's kosher as long as the remaining parts of the ceiling are not four or more amos wide. Because again, up to four amos, we can say dirt and akuma. So the Gemara says, Darash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi once gave a public drasha where he said this din, Bayis shenifchas, if a house caves in the ceiling in the middle, the sikach al gabav, and you put schach on the hole, ksheira, then the sukkah is kosher. Omer l'fanav Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi, but Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi said to Rabbi Yehuda, Rebbe, Parish. Rebbe, you have to clarify what you're saying. It's not always going to be kosher, no matter how far the hole is from the edges. You should know, Kach Pirish Abba, this is how my father, Rabbi Yosi, explained, Arba Amos Psula, only if the edges of the Sach are within four Amos of the walls isn't kosher, but pachas me'arba amos kosher. But if it's less than four amos, then it's going to be kosher. So you have to clarify. Now why indeed didn't Rabbi Yehuda clarify? So one thing is we've learned before that. So first of all, we learned before that Rabbi Yehuda says that boards are kosher for sach. However, that's not the reason over here, because even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that boards that were on top of that were there already as a ceiling are kosher for sach, unless you pick them up and put them down, like we learned a couple of Mishnayos ago. But there is the Oruch HaNer says an interesting idea that based on a Gemara in Bava Basra, where Rabbi Yehuda talks about the minimum size of a house, it's different sizes of a house, it's 6 by 8, 6 by 8 amos, 8 by 10, 10 by 10. Rabbi Yehuda, meanwhile, would hold that a sukkah has to be at least 4 by 4 amos. So necessarily, if the ceiling caves in, if you're going to have 4 by 4 amos in the middle, by definition, you're not going to have any. You're going to have four amos. You're going to have less than 4 amos from the edges of the hole to the edge, because the building wasn't big enough to have 4 by 4 in it, as well as 4 amos of space from there until the wall. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, but obviously, holds like the opinion, which is halacha, that a sukkah needs to be only 7 by 7 tefachim. So therefore, he says you need to specify. Okay. So the Gemara gives another example of something in a different area of halacha, where also Rabbi Yehuda said a drosha and said a certain din without specifying the details, and Rabbi Shmuel, but obviously, tells him you have to specify the details. So Doris Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi another time darshin in public, Avruma Sharia. Small fish called Avruma are mutter to eat. Now, the fish themselves, there's no chiddush in it. If they have fins and scales, of course, they're kosher. The point is, though, that they're very small fish. There might conceivably be non-kosher fish mixed in with them, and it's hard to see which is which. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no reason to be concerned about that, and you're allowed to eat the Avruma. Again, Omer Lachon of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rebbe Parish. Again, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, Rebbe, you have to clarify what you're saying. It's not always the case that you can eat Avruma. Kach Omer Abba, this is what my father Rabbi Yossi said. Shamakim Ploini Asura, the Avruma that comes from a certain place is Osir, because in that area you have non-kosher fish grow of the same size, grow in that river as well, and therefore then when you catch the Avruma, inevitably the other ones come with it as well, and it's hard to pick them out. Shamakim Ploini Mutaris, whereas from a different place, they would be Mutar. So now again, you could answer, the Oruch HaNer says, so Taka, what was Rabbi Yehuda thinking that he didn't give that explanation? Because Rabbi Yehuda was giving a drosha where he lived, it so happened that it was one of those places where the non-kosher fish don't grow, and therefore there's no problem. Rabbi Shmuel says, the fact is, what if you have somebody visiting from out of town and listening to your drosha and thinking that it means that you can always eat Avruma no matter where you are, even though in his place, the non-kosher fish grow there as well. Okay. Next. So now, let's talk a little bit more about those non-kosher fish. Ki ha de Amar Abaya. This is like what Abaya said. Hai tzachanta de bavnara. The small fish called tzachanta is a different kind of small fish that grow, that are caught in the river bav. Sharia, those you're allowed to eat. So the Gemara asks, my timer. What's so great about those that you're allowed to eat them? Why are we not concerned that maybe there are non-kosher small fish mixed in with them? Ilema mishum diriditi maya. Are you going to say the reason is because the Bav River has a very fast current? Vahai dog tome kivin delasle chuta shedra loimotzi koyim. You're going to say that the non-kosher fish that might conceivably be confused with tzachanta don't have a backbone, therefore they're not able to swim in water that has a fast current. The derech klal, it's not an absolute rule, but it is true that it is true that many non-kosher fish don't have spines at all. They're like shellfish or whatever, or if they have spines, then they're made out of cartilage rather than bone, as opposed to as all kosher fish have bony spines. So therefore, you could argue maybe that's the difference. Maybe in Bav Nara, the current is too fast for non-kosher fish to be able to swim around in there. The question is, it doesn't work well because in Indikari. The fact is, we do see that non-kosher fish live in, maybe not in Bav Nara, but in other rivers with fast currents, we see there are non-kosher fish. So that's not a valid reason. You're going to say maybe the reason is because Bav Nahara has salty water. Maybe it's not fresh water like most rivers. It's salty water. You're going to say that since a non-kosher fish doesn't have scales, it's not going to be able to live in such water because it can't live in salty water. No, again, the fact is we see that there are non-kosher fish that live in salty water too. There are non-kosher fish that live in the ocean, for example. Ella, no, the reason must be, the mud at the bottom, the riverbed of Nahar Bav is not the kind of place that's conducive to non-kosher fish growing and laying their eggs and hatching over there. It happens, you know, different kinds of fish require different kinds of mud to put their eggs in and whatever, and it so happens the mud at the bottom of Bav Nahara is not conducive to non-kosher fish. So even if a non-kosher fish happens to wind up in that river it's not going to be able to find a conducive place to spawn and to have babies, therefore such fish don't grow there, therefore you can catch the tachanta from over there, which are kosher fish, they have fins and scales, and not worry that there are non-kosher fish mixed in there. That was the kind of place that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about in his Jerusha, whereas Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi had pointed out the fact is you have other places that are not like that, and therefore for their sake you need to specify that it's not always a hard and fast rule. Okay. Amar Ravina, however, Ravina says, V'ha'idna, nowadays things are different. The Shafri Nahar Eson and Nahar Gamda Lahosam, nowadays the river Eson and the river Gamda pour into the river Bab. They rerouted those rivers. They made canals from those rivers to Nahar Bab. So now and in Nahar Eson and Nahar Gamda you have non kosher fish. Therefore Asira, now the Tzachanta from Nahar Bab are Osir, because now you're more likely to have non-kosher fish mixed in with them, and being that those non-kosher fish are a barrier, we can't say they're batel b'roiv, or even batel b'shishim, or even batel b'elef, therefore now you can't eat tachanta from Nahar Bav anymore. A good example of how it is, you know, with the, nowadays, we think that these kinds of things, kosher alerts, are a modern day thing, because of, you know, the way that they make things in factories where sometimes they reformulate things without telling you, and all of a sudden you discover that your favorite snack or whatever is not kosher, or is chalav or it's cholavakum or whatever. Now we find that even in those times with natural foods also, sometimes you have things like that, where you have something that was assumed to be kosher until now, and now you find circumstances have changed and it's not. Okay. Getting back to Dinim of Sukkah, Itzman, we have a discussion in the Beis Medrash of a machloika samaroi. Sikech al gabe achsavra, sheyesh lafatsim. Now, we learned in the Mishnah, you had a case of a chotzer that was surrounded by an achsadra. So we said, what we're talking about is over there, you have houses surrounding a chotzer on three sides. From the walls of the houses, there stick out ledges, which surround the chotzer on three sides. And now you're going to make a sukkah. You're going to put schach over the empty space in that chotzer. So we said again that if those ledges are 4 amos wide or more, then the sukkah is possible, because then you can't say dofen akuma. But if it's up to 4 amos, then it's kosher because dofen akuma. So now let's talk about where you have an asadra over that, and you have you have these ledges that are sticking out, you're going to put schach over from the edge of one ledge to the edge of the other. Now the walls of the houses are no good. Now that we're talking about the achsadra, we're talking about that the ledges are 4 amos wide, so therefore it's no good as far as the sukkah, because again, the walls of the houses don't serve as the walls of the sukkah because they're more than 4 amos away. So now, if that achsadra, sheyesh la patsim, if that achsadra has pillars all around it. So you have, in other words, let's say, coming down from the edges of those ledges around the chotzer, you have pillars. You have a pillar, then within 3 tefachim of it, you have another pillar, and so on and so forth. So therefore, so those pillars, once we say lovered, then those pillars will count as the walls of the sukkah. Here's a picture for those who are looking to be able to see. So you can see you have the walls of the houses in the background. Those are not going to be the walls of the sukkah. Then you have these poles going all around the sukkah within 3 tefachim of one another. So wonderful. Then you have walls of the sukkah on the grounds of Lovud. So then for sure we're good. So that's Kshedah, that's kosher, and everybody agrees to that. What if Ein la Patsimin? What if it does not have Patsimin? Abaya on a Kshedah, Vidrava on a Psula. So now Abaya says the sukkah is still going to be kosher even without those, and Rava is going to say it's possible. Abaya on a Kshedah, because I'm reading P Tikra Yodid Vesosin. Because what we can say is, it's true there are no Patsimin. It's true that you have only the walls of the, it's true you only have the walls of the houses, and the walls of the houses are too far away, they're 4 amos away, so they don't count as the walls of the sukkah. But on the other hand, what you have is, the edges of the ledges themselves are, those form the edge of a roof, and we can say, p'tikra yod besosim, as we learned in Eruvin a lot, that you can say the edge of the ceiling comes down and forms a virtual wall. So therefore, in other words, you wind up with it looking like this. So you have the arrows over there. So therefore, you consider those arrows from the edges of the tikra, from the edges of the things surrounding the afsadra, you have virtual walls. So good, now your sukkah has 3 walls and you're good. So therefore, Abaye says that's good enough to make the sukkah kosher. The Rava Amar Psula, Rava says it's possible. Loyamin Pitik or Yod Vesosim. We do not say Pitik or Yod Vesosim and say anything like that. Tosfos explains though that the scenario is completely different. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's explanation that we're talking about over here where you're using the three sides of the Asadra as a sukkah. Rather, Tosfos explains, we're talking about, let's say the Asadra has 2 walls. Let's say, in other words, before we were talking about where you have walls over the houses surrounding around 3 sides. But let's say, in other words, that you only have 2 walls, let's say 2 walls perpendicular to one another, and the third side is going to be one of those ledges. So now the question is, can you say Pitik or Yod Vesosim on that third side? Abaye says yes, Rava says no. Amale Rava la Abaye, l'didach da'amit Pitik or Yod Vesosim. According to you, Abaya, that you say Pitik or Yod Vesosim, then why wouldn't it work? Afilo Hifchis Doifen Emtsoi. So what would happen even if you opened up the third side? Remember, the sukkahs in those times we've said so far usually had only 3 walls. So the back wall is called Doifen Emtsoi, the middle wall, because it's between the other 2 walls. So what if you were to take down the middle wall and you only have the 2 walls on the 2 sides? So now the sukkah is like a sukkah that we learned previously about and Dachvav Dach Zayin, where of course it's not kosher because it only has 2 walls, but according to your logic, Abaya, why don't we say Pitik or Yod Vesosim? Amalei, so Abaya answers him, Majina Loch Bahahi, I will agree with you in that case, we're not going to say Pitik or Yod Vesosim, to have like a mavui, I'm a foolish, because there it is effectively like a mavui that's open on both ends where people can walk in from one end and then go in through the other end. So therefore, sure, you need more than that. There you're not going to say Pitik or Yod Vesosim, where everybody is always walking through. In fact, we learned similar cases in Erevin, where you have a case where people are walking through an area, and we say that it's also Rabim, Mevatel Mechitzasa. The fact that Rabim are constantly passing through there is Mevatel the Mechitzasa. So therefore, Rabba knew that as a given. Therefore, he said, obviously, we're not going to say Pitikra over there, and he's asking Abaya, what would you say about that? And Abaya says, yes, I do agree in that case, we're not going to say Pitikra. So the Gemara says, Lema Abaye v'Rava, b'plugta de Rabu Shmuel k'miflegi. Can we say then that Abaya and Rava are arguing on the same argument as Rav and Shmuel, which in that case, why are they repeating the argument? To Itman, namely, we have a discussion, Achsadra b'bika, if you have an Achsadra, which is in a valley, so the Achsadra we're talking about until now is surrounded by houses. Now we're talking about that it's out in the middle of nowhere, and Rashi explains to you in an Erevin that we're talking about that it just has holes by the corners. There's no walls around it at all. Tosfos over there and over here discusses that what it means actually is that it has three walls and it's open on the fourth side. Anyway, Rav Amar Mutar V'Talta B'Kolay. Rav says you're allowed to carry throughout that whole Achsadra, Damrinan Pi Tikur Yod V'Sosim, because again we say Pi Tikur Yod V'Sosim. So according to Rashi, we say on all four sides, we say that the edge of the roof comes down and closes it. So therefore you have an enclosed area, and you're allowed to carry in it on Shabbos. According to Tosfos, we're talking about the one open end. Shmuel says no, it's like a Karmelis, and you can only carry over there up to four Amos. So we don't say Pitik or Yerdesosim. So it sounds like Rava, it sounds like Abaya and Rava are having exactly the same machlokas as Rav and Shmuel. Rav, who says Pitik or Yerdesosim, would be like Abaya. Shmuel, who says not, would be like Rava. Not only is the same machlokas, but we'd also have a problem. Then who do we pask in the halacha like? Usually the halacha is like Rava over Abaya, but usually the halacha in Isser Beheter is like Rava over Shmuel. So we'd be contradicting ourselves on the rules of halacha. So the Gemara answers no. Within Shmuel's opinion, there's no argument. Everybody agrees. Even Abaya is going to have to say that. Listen, according to Shmuel, we don't say Pitik or Yerid besides them. Then for sure, then we're going to say that obviously Shmuel will not hold that by a sukkah either. Because after all, you have by the Achsadra, the edges of the ceiling are made for the Achsadra underneath. The purpose of the ceiling over there is to be able to have some shade in the Achsadra underneath. And even then, Shmuel is not saying Pitik or Yerid V'Sosim. How much more so when it comes to the Chotzer over here, surrounded by the Achsadra, surrounded by the ledges, where the ledges B'chlal are not really, they're not really made for the sukkah, which you're going to build over there. They're made for the edges by the houses over there to be able to have some shade underneath them. So if we say Pitik or Yerid V'Sosim, what we're saying is you're making a wall over there that's going to serve the sukkah, which is in the open space of the chotzer. Of course, if Shmuel doesn't even hold that by Achsadra Rebika, for sure he's not going to hold of that concept when it comes to the sukkah. Ki pligi alibid Rav. The Machlokas, Rav, Rava, and Abaya would specifically be within Rav's opinion. So, Abaya ke Rav. So, Abaya is just going straight out like Rav. Rav says, Pi Tikur Yerid V'Sosim over there, therefore we can say it over here also. The Rava Amalach, whereas Rava will tell you, no, my opinion that says that by Sukkah we don't say Pi Tikur Yerid V'Sosim does not necessarily contradict Rav's opinion that we do say that by the Achsadra Rebbeinu. Because Ad Kan like Omar Rav Hossam, Ela the Mechitzas V'Achsadra Hu Da'Avidi. After all, the edges of the roof over there, the edges of the roof, which are the beams on the edges of the roof, which form the edges of it, those are made for the Achsadra itself. The purpose of it is for the Achsadra that's underneath it, so that you have a shady area. So therefore, it makes sense to say that now we can consider those as though they come down and surround with the whole Achsadra with virtual walls. But in our case of a year of the Chotzer, the edges of the ledges that are sticking out from the houses are not made for the middle of the Chotzer at all. They're not doing any good for the middle of the Chotzer. When you stand there in the middle of the Chotzer, you're not under any ceiling. You're under the open space to the outside world. Therefore, even Rav wouldn't necessarily say there, says Rava, that you would take Pitik or Yerid V'Sosim. To the extent you would, it would be in order to form a wall between the house and the edge of the ledge, underneath the ledge. But that doesn't do you any good for sukkah. For sukkah, you need a wall that serves the sukkah. And that you can't say Pitik or Yerid V'Sosim in order to create such a wall. Says Rava that even Rav would say that. Therefore, so Rava's opinion could work according to Rav, which is the halacha. It doesn't have to be only according to Shmuel. Okay, so we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem.